We should all be certainly concerned with levels of child poverty in Aotearoa. I think we've just become, it's become so normalised that we don't listen, that we don't, sometimes I even think we don't care. But we do need to, because these are the citizens, future citizens of Aotearoa, and we should be doing everything we can to ensure that they flourish. A new report recently released by Stats New Zealand tell us that, well, actually, in the last couple of years, in terms of child poverty, not much has changed. And I'm so pleased this evening that we can talk to Meihana Dury. Meihana is the Deputy Vice Chancellor of Māori of Massey University. So if anybody can put us right, actually comment on the report, but also give us a good indication of what perhaps we need to do, what we should be looking for, and does this report reflect the true state of child poverty in Aotearoa? Kia ora, Meihana. Nice to have you with us on Radio Wātea this evening.
Oh, tēnā koe, Meritika. O tērā, tēnā tātou katoa.
Meihana, we talk so often about child poverty in New Zealand, and it seems to be in Aotearoa, and it seems to be that everyone comes up with data. I mean, data is king, so they collect their data, paint us a picture, and then over the years, when we want that picture to change, because we assume that we're working in the areas that have been identified as where improvement is needed, nothing much has changed. What did the report tell you as an academic and a researcher yourself?
I think there's two very important things in what you've just mentioned, Meritika. The first thing is that the data isn't changing much, which what that means if we break that down is that gains for our whānau in terms of breaking out of the entrapment of intergenerational poverty is not where we need it to be. So that's a really urgent priority for Māori, but equally also for the government. And that should send alarm bells back to Parliament to say, whatever is happening right now, things need to be reshaped and rebooted in that regard. But secondly also, and I've said this in recent days, that data and statistical analysis of those sorts of thresholds that that indicate poverty or abject poverty across whānau settings only tell us a smallish part of the narrative that we need to know. Of course, we need to know the determinants that contribute to both the abject poverty but also intergenerational cycles of whānau poverty. That's very important to understand. But at the same time, and I've also said this in recent days, we need to understand what the markers and determinants are of flourishing. And the other thing I would add to that statement is to say that if we look at whānau water and we look at projects such as Ngā Tini Whetū, which has been, in my view, a groundbreaking project, which has really sought to promote whānau lifestyles and promote whānau flourishing on the basis of understanding those determinants, that's where the real emphasis needs to be.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you mentioned intergenerational, and so if it is intergenerational, and we know that's to be the case, it must be extremely hard then to make inroads and to see where the changes can be made and how they're going to be, how they're going to actually make that happen.
For sure. I think what we also understand is that whānau can't do this on their own, and that whānau require a range of supports that empower them to be able to be in the position to make the right decisions, which will mean that they cycle out of abject poverty. Now, that's very easy to say, from the outside looking in, but it's much more difficult for whānau who are right in there and in that sort of entrapment of intergenerational cycles of poverty to be able to initiate those things themselves. There's a multiplicity and a multifaceted response that needs to happen. Of course, education and Māori-led education is one of those determinants of flourishing, but also systems of Māori health provision that work for our people so that our people are not caught up in the health system per se, but actually they're able to exercise their own tino rangatiratanga in terms of enjoying a high quality of health. Now, I would add to that the fact that we're about to see most likely the disestablishment of Te Aka Whaiaro in the next day or two prior to the Waitangi Tribunal's investigation into that. So those things are contributors to poverty. And, you know, for those of our whānau members who are caught up in the health system, for example, or the justice system, it's very, very difficult to get out of that. And so poverty is the cumulative result of all of these areas that aren't, you know, aren't working for our whānau. And so, you know, you look at health, employment, education, we look at intergenerational whānau wealth, we look at the level of availability and opportunity to be actively engaged and actively participating in te ao Māori. Those are markers of flourishing. And what we also know is that for those of our whānau who are caught up in cycles of poverty, it's very, very difficult for them to be able to get access to those pivot points in our world, te ao Māori.
I think you're so right there, Meihana. But I also think, too, that being poor is energy sapping, you know, because you're constantly living below the line. Your energy is taken up every day with just trying to survive, just trying to get by. And, you know, when there's no spare energy in the tank, then maybe sometimes you can't even help yourself because you just don't have any grunts to do so.
Absolutely. And again, it's the cumulative impact of years and years and years of, for example, parenting, or in some cases solo parenting, without having any opportunity to actually strategically plan ahead for the next two or three generations of one's own whānau. Those things impact, and it's actually that level of taumahatanga which contributes or exacerbates existing health issues, or which contributes to the onset of particular health issues. I mean, if we look at mental health, for example, we know that there's a direct connection between, you know, cycles of poverty and levels of hopelessness across whānau. When you're living in a state of hopelessness, obviously there's bound to be an impact on all four sides of the whare tapawha. So those are the real pressure points for our people. But the other thing I would say is this, Merepeka, that we also understand that there are wonderful exemplars out there of community-led initiatives, hapu and iwi-led initiatives, that have actually contributed in a transition from languishing to flourishing. And what, you know, I feel the government needs to do is to really hone in on those and to hold those up as exemplar models and to get the funding to where it needs to be. I'm incredibly worried, however, that, you know, Māori health leaders have spent the last 3 to 4 decades advocating for a Māori health system. We got that in a manner of speaking with Te Aka Whai Ora, and now it looks doomed. So we have to be worried about that.
Yes, we do have to be worried. And of course, if you add housing into the mix, which is fundamental to the well-being of whānau, then we're really going to be pushing uphill unless that gets addressed. So you've got all of these areas that, and I suppose, work that we don't see. I mean, I always hear the government departments are starting to work together. Now, I've heard that for the last 2,000 years, Meihana, but I really haven't seen any true demonstration of government departments, government agencies working together, putting together a strategic plan, I guess, that everybody has input into that will raise the well-being and of our children and lift them out of poverty with their whānau. And I also take exception to the fact that why we seem to not recognise, or this is these are the people who collect the data, and we can collect the data, but we've got to understand that our babies don't live on their own; they're part of a whānau. So I believe we should be trying to lift the whole whānau rather than just concentrating on sectors of the whānau, because it's linked.
It's a great example, because if we look at the determinant of whānau wealth, you know, if we look at, say, if we take an example from since Tamaki Makaurau, and we look at a particular whānau who might have to rent in Tamaki Makaurau and pay market price for their rental, if you do the figures, you quickly realise that in order for that whānau to be able to save enough money to then put a deposit down on the purchase of a house for the whānau, that becomes an insurmountable task based on the level of income that's coming in for the parents or for the wider whānau. And so if you just take that, that's one big example of how it's so difficult and challenging for particular whānau to be able to reverse the impacts of, for example, intergenerational poverty, and to be able to get into a position where they can save to purchase a house. Now, that's one example, but it's an important example because what we know at the moment is that for those of our whānau who rent in places like South Auckland and to a degree West Auckland, they are absolutely dependent on market rental rates. And those market rental rates can fluctuate depending on what's happening with inflation. And what's happening with inflation has a massive impact and mostly a massive burden on the financial status of our whānau. So these are the big questions that I believe the government needs to come up with solutions for. And until we get to that point, there's still going to be this massive divide between whānau who have intergenerational wealth and whānau who don't. And primarily that impacts and affects us negatively as Māori.
Yes, yes. Well, the report was undertaken by Stats New Zealand, and one would think that they've got all of the data and every opportunity to get all of the figures to support their conclusion. Do you think Māori researchers doing the same piece of work might have been able to drill down a bit further, a bit more?
Absolutely. And look, it's not to denigrate the work of Stats New Zealand. I know that they've had a massive focus in the last probably 3 years on widening search in terms of the net that goes out to get a more accurate level of feedback about the accuracy of data and data sets as they pertain to Māori and to whānau. But what I would say is that as Māori, we know through our own research projects, and I would highlight the one project in particular, Te Hoi Nukuroa, which was a longitudinal Māori research project that honed in on the trajectories of whānau across 2 decades. That particular project was really just a way to highlight how impactful and effective it can be if our own people are the researchers and if our own people create and establish good relationships with participants in research projects who are our own people. And what we also find through, you know, projects such as Te Hoi Nukuroa is that the accuracy of the data is very high. And once the accuracy is high, of course, we can get a better sense and understanding of what the narrative is telling us. And so if anything, it would be to encourage and to fund an increased level of Māori-led research projects that really tap into our own communities and that are set up to ensure that the reality of what our whānau are facing economically, financially, and in places like employment, health and education, that we can get the real-time data on those things as well.
I suppose I was thinking also, Mehana, that the true cost to Aotearoa of ongoing child poverty, I don't know if we actually have thought about that long-term. Because the children who are living in poverty now, their contribution in 20 years to the ongoing development of Aotearoa is not going to be healthy. And so that's a big, big issue that New Zealand needs to, the government and others, Māori leaders as well, need to be highlighting. Mm-hmm. The longer our children live in poverty, the worse off New Zealand will get, not just now, but actually in 2 decades or 3 decades.
For sure. And we know that through our own historical experiences that over the decades, those of our tamariki and mokopuna who have grown up in those types of settings where there is abject poverty and not much hope in that regard, you know, the chances of them falling through the cracks and into spaces such as the justice system are exacerbated. And what we also know, Benedict, is that those of our whānau, and particularly our tamariki and mokopuna, who are in those situations, they are rendered much more vulnerable to other things as well. And so we have to be able to find the right solutions. And I'm pleased also that you mentioned the place of iwi and hapū and community hapori providers because one particular area of the government can't address this, you know, in isolation from, for example, iwi and hapu and community providers. It's actually a, you know, a multifaceted solution, and we need to be able to find the right mechanism that brings together hapu and iwi and community alongside the Crown. And there also needs to be a very high-level strategy which points to how we elevate whānau out of these cycles of poverty, and it's entrenched poverty as well. How do we elevate them out of those to give them options, at least in terms of their education, their health, their employment? Those are the things that will empower our own whānau to take the tino rangatiratanga of their own destinies.
Well, we've certainly got our work cut out, all of us who work in this space. Meihana, we've got our work cut out, and because these are challenging times, and my observation with the current government that we've just been elected is that they don't always share our visions and our aspirations, contrary to what they might say, for the future of our whānau. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us this evening on Radio Wātea, Meihana, and thank you also for your mahi that you're doing.
Kia ora. Thanks very much. Ngā mihi nui, kia koe, merepeka o tira, kia tātai.
Thanks so much. Lovely to talk this evening with Meihana Dury, and Meihana is the Vice Chancellor Māori of Massey University, and it was really interesting, and actually, I can tell you, it not only was it interesting, it was so encouraging to have a conversation with somebody who does actually know this stuff and know it well, because child poverty has been around for such a long time, and we talk about, and money goes into attempting to address the root causes, but we never seem to get there, and part of it is non-involvement of Māori anyway, that's one thing, but also there has to be a long-term commitment by the government to shift the dial. Anyway, it's been great being with you this evening. Lovely to talk to my guests, and I'm going to be back with you tomorrow evening. For now, Māori wā, kia ora.